everybody. Welcome to another MoGraph podcast. I'm your host,
Hello.
Matt Milstead. Joining me this week is Mr. Jay Allen of Secret Powers.
Hello, hello.
And I want to give a big shout out. This week's sponsor is
brought to you by
Otoy. You know them, you love them. They're the makers of Octane Render and the Render Network. With Octane Render, you can create super photorealistic renders incredibly fast. And for those renders that need the little extra push of power, the Render Network has you covered. Render Network allows you to render your Octane and Redshift and Blender cycles frames in a fraction of the time and a fraction of the cost of other cloud rendering services. And this is a reminder that the Render Royale this month is still underway. You've got until Friday to enter. This month's theme is retro sci-fi. Reminder that you can win up to $1,000 in cash money. I think it might be render tokens that they give you, but still, you can cash that out for money. Either doing Octane Blender cycles or Redshift renders and rendering them on the Render Network using the theme retro sci-fi. You can check out more at renderfoundation.com/royale. Make sure and get those entries in. Shout out to the Crucible at work. Hi, everyone. See, I mentioned you, but I guarantee you're not watching. I was at home. I was like, got to go do my podcast. They're like, give me a shout out. I was like, okay, but you got to watch. They're not going to watch. Anyway, Jay, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here, Matt Milstead.
Yeah, I'm surprised. We were talking earlier and I was like, I can't believe I've never had you on this show. 446 episodes.
446.
Yes.
And, you know, that's a long time to wait for inevitability. But the thing about inevitability is it's going to happen.
You knew it was going to happen. You knew it. And we are here now. And it's fantastic.
Oh, we've got Merrily in the chat.
Oh, watch hi, Merrily. Uh-oh. It's gonna get saucy in here now. Anyway, thanks for being on the show. Super excited to have you here. Another local Texas, Texan, Dallasite. You're Fort Worth, right?
Yeah, I am, which I didn't find out until, I think, my second time attending Camp MoGraph. Yeah, I was like, we were in another state, and I'm like, hey, we're in the same state, like, drivable.
Yeah,
distance.
Seriously. I mean, drivable in Texas, you know.
If you grew up here, it's drivable.
It's drivable, yeah. We like to make the joke that Dave and I only actually see each other at events, even though because we're like an hour drive away from each other. So that's the only time we see each other.
That distance is real.
Yeah, it is.
It's not trivial.
Yeah. But you're in Fort Worth, right?
I am in Fort Worth. Been here about 15 years.
Oh, okay. So where were you before Texas?
So I've always been in Texas.
Okay.
I was in Dallas for about 10 years.
Okay.
Before that, I was in Denton.
Were you at UNT?
North Texas.
Yeah.
And and then Oklahoma State before that. And I grew up in Arlington, so right in the middle.
So, yeah, you're basically Texas born and raised.
You got it.
Yeah. Okay, so you went to UNT or were
I did.
Nice. Okay. What did you study there? Were you in the film program there?
This may come as a surprise, but my major was radio, television, and film.
Radio, television, and film.
Don't forget about
RTF,
the radio.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that was how I don't want to age you right now, but
oh, it's okay.
I mean, I would assume we're probably about the same age, you know? So
watch what you say, Matt. I just turned 50 this year.
Okay, never mind. Then wow, you look great for 50, man.
Thanks so much, my guy.
I was gonna say, I'm 42 and I think you look younger than I do.
Wow.
It's the 446 episodes that ages you.
That's the thing. It's like, and I reviewed episode 444.
Okay.
You looked noticeably younger. I don't know what happened in those last two episodes.
It's the lighting. It's because I can't get my lighting right.
Finally got it dialed in. Now I'm like 39.
Yeah. the RTF, or radio, television, film program at UNT, it was very popular. I had a bunch of friends from high school who, you know, I went off to the Art Institute and they went off to that. And it's been, I think at the time, I don't know about now, but it was really well known for a really good program.
Yeah, it was a great program. And, you know, it's interesting that, I mean, I think just a very good thing. I find that even in my day-to-day work, I still draw on skills or just things that I was exposed to in that curriculum. Even though a lot of those things were quickly replaced, you know, I was in school right as nonlinear editors were coming on the scene. My first audio production class, we were cutting tape with razor blades, you know, and you know, the true analog,
the true
audio editing. But yeah, those early production classes and broadcast copywriting and we did a full like newscast where, you know, it's like, and now here's Jay Allen with sports, you know, and doing the whole thing. And I still use a lot of that sensibility in what I do now. So yeah, it was a great program and a lot of fun times at UNT.
Yeah. So Secret Powers has been around for a while, right?
I'm going to say about 17 years.
Yeah. So, okay. So I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the beginnings of Secret Powers and
the origin story.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I think what you're referring to is the video Fabulous Secret Powers.
Yes. Yes.
Which is the origin story of Secret Powers. So
yes.
The very short version of that story is in, look at this.
I'm professional, baby.
Wow. You had it ready to go.
I had it ready.
So this video, this was released to the internet in 2005 as YouTube was coming on the scene and all of that. And so it made its way around all of the internet places for a couple of years. And then around 2010, it started getting really big and a lot of people had seen it. But the short version of what that has to do with Secret Powers, the company is, so my friend Ryan and I made that video and, a couple, maybe a year later or so, we got a call from this game developer in Chicago called Wide Load Games, and they were working on a game called Hail to the Chimp.
Okay.
And Hail to the Chimp had some in-game content that was like little animated animals.
Okay.
Basically anthropomorphic animals, and the job or the request was to do these fake commercials on a fake animal TV network.
Fun.
So they'd seen the He-Man video and said, hey, He-Man video was funny. Could you make some funny stuff for our game? And that was the first official Secret Powers project. At that time, we were called Slack Circus because that was the name of the creative collective that we had originally released the He-Man video under.
Yeah. For those who are listening to the show, it's the He-Man Four Non-Blondes spoof. If you were on E-Bomb's World in its
E-Bomb's
early days, that's where I first saw it. Yeah.
Okay.
Was
made
E-Bomb's
a big
World.
Splash on E-Bomb's World.
It did.
I remember that.
So you got this initial job off of this, off of someone saying this, and just did Secret Powers start from there, or was this like a slow moving thing, eventually into it?
It was kind of it was definitely an evolution. What was sort of happening alongside that at the time is that we were editing game trailers kind of on the side for a couple of years. I had a friend who was getting some game trailer jobs from one of their clients, and they said, hey, this isn't really our thing. Can you take a crack at cutting some game trailers and adding graphics and all the things that you do? And so we had been kind of moonlighting and doing game trailers. And so we were already sort of game adjacent, even in those early days. And so, you know, when this game, this game developer thing didn't come out of nowhere. Like, we had friends of friends and knew about it and all that. So that was just the first project that kind of allowed me to quit my day job.
That's exciting.
Because it was an extended contract. I was like, yeah, like I think I've made it or something.
Yeah.
I had not made it.
Yeah.
At that point. I still
I was gonna say I don't know
it.
If I've made it yet. Yeah.
Matt, we're making it right
we're
now.
We're making it right now.
You feel we're soaking in it.
446 episode, I'm finally making it.
Well, we're gonna remember this is the high water mark.
Right.
446.
446. Yep. Won't get it's all downhill from here.
Only one way to go.
Okay, so you were cutting together game trailers.
Yes.
And it seems going on your website, it seems like that's still a lot of work that you do. Like, is that the majority of work? Because I know you and I have worked together on some projects that you brought me in, and we did the Betrayal Hulu.
Yep.
Opening both mm-hmm. season one and season two, which was a lot of
that's
fun,
right.
You know, mm-hmm. So it's, I know it's not just game trailers that you're doing, but it seems like that's a majority of the work that you guys are showing off.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And certainly for the last couple of years, you know, I mean, that's always been a focus for us, but in the last couple of years, it's been more of an intentional shift, to that specialization. And so, I would say like 2025, every single project that we're doing is a video game project.
Amazing.
And so, yeah, I think for many years we were, you know, we were doing some broadcast packages and explainers and, you know, just all of the things that you kind of get into in our line of work. And, you know, over the past couple of years, it's just a realization. Video games where our heart is. We've been doing this the longest. We're great at it. We mm-hmm. really know what we're doing. And so we've leaned into that. And so far that's been a move I've been really happy with.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. And I have to ask this because, and feel free to say, I'm not talking about this.
No comment.
How are the budgets with video games? Like, especially for like, is it just game trailers that you're doing? Let's start there. Is it just game trailers mm-hmm. or what additional things are you doing in the gaming space?
Yeah. So we've always been video forward. It's where I got my start and, it's what I know the best. And probably what I personally have done the longest
mm-hmm.
over the years, we've done, a handful of just kind of broader creative agency type work. We have done some print stuff and we yeah. have done some web work and static ads and things like that. For the most part, we've really gotten away from that. So these days, the game trailers and campaigns centered around video is still very much a core offering for Secret Powers. Another thing, though, in the last couple of years that's become a really big part of what we offer is social first creative. We have five different clients right now for which we're doing kind of ongoing social media creative where we're doing a certain number of assets per month.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be everything from short form videos to meme parodies to just ridiculous visual jokes and, you know, just the kinds of things that that we love about social media.
Yeah.
We found like a really fun niche that is, you know, when I kind of think about the longer timeline, kind of gets back to you know, the original
uh-huh.
roots of just sort of like connecting with people in that way, making just funny, weird, ridiculous stuff for the internet.
Yeah.
So it's really those two main things is what we're up to these days.
Do you know Mark Canataro Films or something? He's really popular on TikTok, but
uh-huh.
he'll take like, you know, TikTok memes or whatever, and he'll put like Mario or, you know, Donkey Kong, or he'll do some sort of 3D animation. And he started off in Cinema 4D and Octane and stuff like that years
mm-hmm.
ago. He hit one, you know, the one of the guy, you know, where
uh-huh.
it's like going
yeah,
around.
Yeah, yeah.
He did a Mario uh-huh. one like that, and it got like 100 million views or something like that, you know. And it's like when you're talking about the like the memes and the video games and stuff like that. Is that something similar, like being able to do custom like memes and stuff like that specifically tailored to these video games?
Yes, that's exactly it. So, you know, sometimes we'll be doing parodies of certain memes. Am I able to screen share on this thing?
Will that
break the stream? Let's not tempt fate.
We could try it. All right. You know what? Let's get crazy. Let's get insane. Go ahead and screen
Remember
share.
Remember what I said about the high watermark episode 446?
I will say.
Remember team... that time when Mograph.com exploded?
I will say, I can guarantee you this, when you do screen share, it's probably going to resize your picture on the thing, but that's okay. Let's do this. Let's get insane. Let's get crazy.
So it's going to look all squished and weird.
Yeah.
Just like we intended.
Just like we tried. Yeah.
All right, teams.
All right, here we go.
Don't fail me now.
Let's see. Do you need permission to share?
No. Well, not yet. Not yet.
Let's see.
Okay, I'm gonna do a little. I feel like I'm on a call right, like a work call right now.
Well, because it's like legit awesome, my setup and everything, you know. I'm sorry that it's so good that it's...
It's so good that a meager screen share is...
Okay.
Oh, and, like, the window went away. What happened?
Hold on. All right. Okay. So, you're still on. That's good. Let me go to my video screen 16:9 and see if this... Oh, messes things up. Okay. That's not bad.
Okay. That's something. We're getting,
I told you the yours would be sized wrong. There we go.
Look at this down here. Let me out of this box. Let me out of here.
Okay. Luckily, I had this set up for a few weeks ago when we had Byron on. But
oh my gosh.
Okay, so that's good. Now I just got to resize this. There we go. It's weird that it's like 4:3 instead of 16:9.
Back to my roots.
In standard definition.
So we like to present all of our content in 640x480.
All right, well, we'll start with this.
This is a quick example. I just want to give a flavor for what we're talking about here. So this was for Phantasy Star Online 2. And so we were doing all kinds of crazy stuff in the character creator, making some abominations like PSO2 Guy Fieri over here.
Okay, yeah. Nice.
fake Dreamcast cases.
Amazing.
Fake ads, fake Dreamcast official Sega Dreamcast magazine covers, all the way to this kind of stuff, movie posters, reaction gifs, a whole suite of tools.
That's so fun.
So I'm gonna unshare.
That's fine.
Okay, good.
All right. Back to the two box. Hey, that wasn't so bad. Oh, I told you it resized. Oh, there we go. Okay,
that
now
was
you're back.
Harrowing. Okay.
So one of my favorite bugs in using Teams and OBS is that it just randomly decides to like rescale the video. When we had Byron on a few weeks ago, it was literally rescaling every 5 minutes. But that's really cool. That's like so much fun. It's like you're going to work, but it's like, okay. So for example, I recently had the opportunity to work with Game Day Creative, and we were working on some stuff. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it, so I won't. But we were working on some stuff where it was more like, let's have some fun with this, you know, let's do fun animations and see what we can get away with the client. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most fun I've had on a job in a while, because you didn't take yourself too seriously, you know, and I can imagine getting to do that every day must just be a blast.
Yeah, it's super fun. And it you know, in some ways, like it feels like, you know, I don't know. There's something that's very like familiar. It almost feels like coming home in some ways,
mm-hmm.
Because a lot of this stuff is the kind of things that we would do anyway. You know, there's been content that we've created that, that, you know, the client's corporation didn't approve. And later we asked them like, hey, we just really love this thing. Like as a fan, can I just post this on my own social media, which I have done on. So
yeah.
Like my personal Instagram is Slack Circus and, TikTok and all the places is Slack Circus. And so I asked them, can I just post it on Slack Circus? Because this is something that I would just, you know, that's something I would post anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I also get to write music occasionally, for these things. So when we do,
and it's not all just like Four Non Blondes. No,
not just I've expanded. So now, you'll hear everything from, Four Non Blondes to Seven Mary Three. Like that's how wide the spectrum is.
Anything below or above 4 and 7, just no, that we're out. Yeah,
exactly.
311, exactly. Get out of here. No,
that's right out of here. Forget about it. How dare you? It's funny. 311. We had a team meeting a while back, and I shared an old photo of myself at the first Quake convention. And I was like, you'll know the one that is me because he has the big 311 shirt right on the front row. So just, you know, keep an eye out for that.
That's funny. All right, where were we? Oh, you get to write some music.
Yeah.
You get to actually write music with it. Yeah.
Right. So that's been a really fun aspect of this. I've been doing music longer than I've done anything. And so, you know, opportunities to get to do music for my job is always welcome. So that, yeah, that's something that comes in. So it's like, I feel like for a lot of these social media projects, everyone on our team is using some kind of skill that we may or may not have known that they had to come together and make some of this stuff. It's like, hey, do you know how to do stop motion? Yeah, I used to do that in my garage with Legos. Or, hey, who's got a 3D printer? Oh yeah, I have, you know, kind of crowdsourcing a lot of the content. So yeah, it's super fun.
That's fun. That's super fun. Yeah. There was a question I was gonna ask. You're talking about making music, making memes. Oh,
mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. This is gonna be like, again, feel free to say I don't want to talk about this, but like I would think with the inception of AI, you know, some of these jobs may or may not be a little bit easier to create spoof versions of memes or something, or you can iterate a lot faster. Are y'all incorporating any of that into it? Because I know when I'm freelancing at ABC, we'll take like a screen grab of one of us and someone will AI it. Like it's, and that's just fun internally. I can imagine, you know, getting to do that for clients would be just exponentially more fun.
You know, I'm interested in experimenting with it. But I can say most of our clients tell us up front, like you can't do any AI stuff or if not like signing it. Oh yeah. So, and I don't know if this is, you know, if the video game industry is just more, cautionary about it. But it's something we haven't really, like there have been times where we have pitched ideas where, hey, this would be really funny. Like we'll make it obvious that it's AI generated.
Yeah.
But right now it's just, I think it's such a hot topic in the industry. People are like, nah, we're going to stay really far away from that. You know, I personally am really interested in just like the ridiculous stuff that you can make.
Yeah.
And there are very interesting ideas that could come out of that. But you know, I think like we've got our eyes on you know, like appropriate and just really good uses for it in a client context, but it's not something we're really, you know, it's not something we're doing like really ever right now.
That's really interesting to hear that the video game industry in particular is so kind of like gun shy about that. I mean, that's great for, you know, people within that industry. I wonder if that's eventually going to change, but That's really interesting. Cause I feel like
yeah.
people outside, like especially Hollywood is like, let's use it. Let's use it as much as possible in order to lower costs. But I don't know.
I think it's the same conversation that a lot of us that are, you know, that are in animation and design and video production and post and all of those things are having all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that fear factor of which jobs are going to get replaced first. And, you know, like as things start to move more and more towards let's, you know, just fill up the content pipeline at all time with all things. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about. Like Hollywood has embraced it, you know, good or bad. I think the difference with, well, I don't even know if it's different, but, you know, with game developers in particular, you know, there are human jobs that are going to be affected by mm-hmm. that because it's, you know, turns out AI is really good at writing code and mocking things up and, you know, making 3D models and, you know, all of those things. I'm way more interested in the workflow kind of stuff, like the less fun and snazzy things that it can do, like, you know, filling in frames that, or what is it?
Yeah.
Like autocomplete and like AI transcribing mm-hmm. and AI roto and stuff like that. Like super, super useful. It's a big topic.
That's interesting. That's interesting because for me, and you probably get this having this background where it's like, you know, I don't want to say you made it off of this, but having something like the He-Man video go so incredibly viral and it becoming a part of the pop culture zeitgeist, you know, these tools, these AI tools, in order to being able to make something so ridiculous, and it's a new avenue in order to add to the pop culture zeitgeist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, the, it's as I, you know, you kind of scroll, as I kind of scroll LinkedIn and mm-hmm. all of the places, you know, it's just, everyone is kind of talking about this. And, I don't know. It's sort of like, I mean, AI could generate all of those things and make a replica of all of those things and propagate it throughout everywhere for all time and all of those things. But I don't know, at least right now, like I'm still happy about this time right now because we can still very much tell the difference between something that a human created, especially when it comes to comedy. Like AI is not that funny.
It's not.
I think, like, I don't know. I'm just happy to kind of plant my feet in that area, you know, and I don't know. I think I just feel like we're going to continue to see an increasing demand for things that we know were human made and human born and human, you know, human sensibility. And I don't know, like, I don't know what the next 5-10 years are going to look like. Mm-hmm. I still like, I can't stop talking about it though, because like it is happening.
Yeah.
It is happening right now, you know, right in front of our eyes. And I think it's super interesting.
The thing that I like about it is that I don't love the taking our jobs away part.
No, that's not as good.
That's not a
good thing.
But I love the ability to create content. You know, mm-hmm. like someone who just my kids can hop on the computer and say, make me this weird thing and let their imaginations go wild, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like they're not limited to the tools that they don't necessarily know. Like, I don't know After Effects. I don't know Cinema 4D, you know, I don't know mm-hmm. how to edit. I don't know audio, but I can prompt something and I can make something pretty funny, you know. It's like the amount of content that I think is going to come out and the memes and everything is just going to be exponentially more over the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I mean, we're already seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a couple of accounts that I follow. Like, what is that one? Glumlot is one that I follow.
Okay, I don't know that
one. And he just makes, it's like this weird retro sci-fi, liminal space, VHS, like, and they are truly weird. And they, it all looks like things that, that like I've seen in dreams. Like, I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, it's like, this is all AI generated, but it's got a singular point of view. It's got a style, it's got a sensibility, and he's building, like, there's a lore here. And you know, there's something about the textures and everything that, like, that have like a sense of place. Like, I feel that it's AI generated, but it also like takes me to a place, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm interested to see where it goes. I'm less interested to see, you know, people just like jumping into it, you know, race to the bottom, cash grab and all that. But I'm super interested in what creative people are going to continue doing with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. One of my,
hey, what's up, Audrey? I just saw Audrey's in there.
One of my favorite things is when I'm scrolling through TikToks and I find just like a random video and I was like, okay, it's just a normal video. What's going to happen? And then all of a sudden it goes absolutely insane bonkers. And then you obviously know it's AI. Like, there's this one where this guy is like dancing in, like, he's working in a restaurant. He's in the back of the house and he's dancing. And then all of a sudden he flips sideways and you're like, whoa, how'd he do that? And he stands right back up. But then he rips himself in half and he's cake and he's pulling cake out of himself.
Like, yep,
that's the type of stuff I thrive on. Like, I love that.
Yeah, I've seen like some of those like AI, they're almost like gross out accounts where it's like they're just like, you know, they're whatever, they're singing karaoke and then they turn into a bowl of spaghetti or something like that, like photorealistic, like oversized spaghetti. And that looks weird. You know, it kind of reminds me of what is that guy, oh gosh. Okay, this is gonna come back to me. I'm not gonna like take up our time while I like go through my memory banks.
It's okay.
But there's something I want to discuss because I know that you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a weird, can we just agree that it's a strange time?
It is, yeah.
Right now?
Yeah. It's what, okay, so you'll get this. You'll understand this because we're the same age, you know.
More or less, plus or minus 10 years.
Remember probably 15, 20 years ago or whenever the iPhone came out and people started shooting like videos on their iPhones, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I was working at a place where anyone could bring their stuff off the street and be like, oh, I want this edited, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we were like, we're going to get so much crappy iPhone footage and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, we want to make this professional video. Can we just shoot it on our iPhone? You know?
And like ha!
Yeah.
Oui.
Yeah. The anger and frustration that came from us, like, during that, I feel like it's very similar now. You know? It's like, you're going to get a bunch of people hemming and hawing about some of this AI stuff, but it's like, you don't realize it's just adding more content. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure, you'll get people who shoot the AI or who use AI or who shoot on their iPhone and it's not going to turn out great and you'll have to do lots of compositing, you know, or lots of changing and stuff. Or you'll get the people who want the full on production, you know, who want the actual humans touching the 3D animation and maybe with a little bit of something in there, you know.
Well, it's like, we have better ways of doing animate, not better ways, but there are other ways to do animation besides stop motion.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of ways, cheaper ways, less time consuming ways, much less time consuming ways. And then you have Kubo and the Two Strings. And then you have like the Pinocchio and the Lego movie and all of these things. It's like, it 3D and like current compositing tools and all those things, it made that kind of stop motion easier.
Yeah.
It still takes a real long time.
Yep.
But there's still a space for that kind of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's ever going to go away. I hope that I'm not wrong about that.
I don't think you are. One big change though, like going from the original hand-drawn, you know, that big shift that Disney mm-hmm. did, where it's mm-hmm. like The Princess and the Frog was like the last one where they actually hand-drew stuff, because there was such an uproar of like, oh, you guys are all moving to computers, you're losing the, you know, aesthetic of that and stuff. But it's like, no, that's still happening. You can still make 2D. You're just drawing it on a, you know, screen versus on paper.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It was like the tool and the backbone of the whole thing changed, but it allowed for, you know, a level of expression and speed to do things that wasn't possible. I remembered the thing that I was that I was remembering.
Let's hear.
I was half remembering. Now I've fully remembered it.
All right.
Do you remember it was this animated short slash music video by Chris Cunningham? It was called Rubber Johnny.
Yes.
Do you remember that? It had this weird alien guy that was like at a rave, basically. It's one of the weirdest things that I've ever seen. I saw it at a film festival.
Yeah. Aphex Twins.
Yes, it was an Aphex Twin thing.
Yeah.
And I saw that. So actually, fun fact, the first time that the He-Man video played at a, the one.
Yeah.
It made a creeps.
Yeah. I'm going to get dinged on YouTube for it now.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kidding, YouTube.
Yep.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
The first time I saw that, the He-Man video played at a film festival in Tulsa. And that was the first time I saw Rubber Johnny. I was like, what is this and who made it?
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like this before. Like, it just as a project.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm ready for, like, whatever the, you know, the kind of like the Chris Cunningham mind using AI to make a thing.
Yeah.
That's really something. It took a long time for him to make too.
Yeah.
But anyway, this came across my LinkedIn
Chris
feed
Cunningham.
The other day. I was like, yeah. Sorry.
I love Chris Cunningham. Chris Cunningham. Yeah. Remember, I think we're just going down memory lane here. Hey, remember this? MTV used to have these back when MTV was good or even around. They did these like three like DVDs that you could buy. It was Chris Cunningham, it was Spike Jonze, and it was Michel Gondry, right?
Oh,
Chris Cunningham was one of the ones that I owned because his video that he did for Bjork, I believe it's All Is Full of Love, it was all robots and it was 3D animated, and it was the first time I had really seen photorealistic 3D animation in like composited everything. Like, it was just absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. That was a huge inspiration for me. Yeah.
I remember, like, it seemed like around that time every new thing that came out was like, it felt groundbreaking.
Uh-huh.
You know, because it was just like everything was new.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that. There's a version of that time that's happening right now, and it's happening even faster.
Yeah.
I do find that I go down memory lane more and more these days. Part of it's probably just being 50 years old, but the other part is like, hey, remember when things were analog and didn't like grow and change at an exponential rate? Like, I was handling that so well.
That's funny.
What was so great to
remember when we weren't
so well?
Burning our environment by making funny videos with GPUs?
Yeah, those were the days.
So let me ask you this. Because of the content that you're having to create for, you know, different video game companies and, you know, social stuff, are you, how active are you in the meme space and the Reddits and the TikToks and stuff, making sure you're up to date with a lot of these pop culture things?
You know, I honestly, like, I keep social media at pretty arm's reach. And when I'm going in, it's like, I have a very, it's like, it's very practical, you know, like I kind of treat it like, I'm going to the library or something, like going to research.
Interesting.
I have found over the years that, I am prone to just like scrolling forever.
Yeah.
I don't know if this sounds familiar or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
very.
and just getting really drawn into it and not able to look away or think about anything else. And I don't love that feeling. I do enjoy, like, I have to have a purpose. I have to have a purpose behind, like something that I'm going to look for or have an objective or do an overview. I remember when Vine was a thing, and you know, I was thinking about, like, okay, this seems like an interesting platform, and I like what people are doing on it, but I don't know. I kind of treat it like, all right, my goal is to find the funniest people on Vine and just see what they're about, as opposed to just like taking everything, and it's like, and it's a fine it's a fine line, and most of the time, like, my brain can't tell the difference, so I don't know. I just, this is not a, it's not like it's, I'm not coming from a place of like, oh, I'm you know, I've evolved beyond social media. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, like, I have learned what my own pitfalls are, and it's bad for my mental health. and so I'm very practical about it. So what's nice and what I love about my team is that, you know, we're all kind of, we're crowdsourcing a lot of that research.
Nice.
And, you know, we have kind of like a hive awareness of what's going on.
That's cool.
And that's like, I think that's the way to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I like that. So let me ask you this. When you, when that video went viral, and you see this happen a lot nowadays, you know, I don't know if you necessarily saw it so much, back in the E-bombs world days, you know, but you would have, like, for example, you'd have some Vine people or someone who hit it really big on a Vine or who hit it really big on a TikTok. And then they would move that entirely into, okay, I'm going to create content now. That is going to
for
a living, for my own personal brand and such. But you kind of took that success and split off into, let's do this for you, for companies and stuff. Was there ever any thought to, I should do this all the time? I should try and go viral with funny videos all the time.
You know, that's something I've thought about a lot. And I think one was being the age that I was when all of this was happening. I think it made that whole thing a little bit less alluring. Like, if I had grown up, like, if I was a YouTube native, you know, if I grew up with like an iPad in my hands or something, that might really be like, an attractive career prospect, or like, oh, I really see myself as doing that. I have thought about this. I'm like, well, I have, you know, my channel that Slack Circus that does fine, it does okay, but I mean, that's really from the He-Man video. There really hasn't been a part of me that has thought, I should do that all the time. I should be like on YouTube, or I should be like a content creator all the time. Because like, I'm not wired for it.
Yeah.
I'm just not. Like, I don't have the energy. I don't think I have the energy or the desire to like, to keep up with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I have friends that are very good at it, and it's effortless. It's like, this is what I would do if I had the choice between 10 other things, like just like sharing things with their community or live streaming or whatever it is. And I'm like, that's awesome. Like, that looks exhausting to me. Like,
yeah.
My tank would be so empty all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's ever been something that I felt like was right for me. I think the other thing that, you know, just kind of growing up as YouTube was coming into its own and content creators were, becoming national or international brands and stuff like that. You know, I think it's something that, like, you have to love it.
Yeah.
Because like, you're going to be doing it for a while.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I guess I never felt like, well, you know, the other thing is, the He-Man video was like just a thing that me and Ryan wanted to make. It was just like, it was sort of like a music video. Really, it was just like that was like our Rubber Johnny. It was like, you know, at least I want to make this funny thing. It wasn't like, you know what? I got this idea. And I'm seeing dollar signs. I think everyone's going to go nuts for this He-Man video. And we're going to make an entire career out of it and just make He-Man videos all the time. I never thought that.
Yeah. That's funny. Have you ever thought about doing a follow-up? Like a different Four Non Blondes song?
Well, so I have done on my YouTube channel, like once every 2 or 3 years, I'll make a new song and I will do a He-Man animated version of that song. So you can go on my channel right now and there's Villainous Behaviors. And there's a, what was the other one I did? Where's my channel? See, this is how infrequently, I make stuff for my channel.
Slack Circus. You dive in Slack Circus. It says, Slack Circus. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I did Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas featuring Beastman.
Nice.
A while back. Okay. I'm working on a song. I have a song already made called Brand New Face that I released many years ago. Still haven't finished the video. I'm halfway done. So I'm still interested in it. Like when it makes sense, I enjoy doing it, but not enough to do like one video per week. And I'm doing behind the scenes and, you know, always on everything about, you know, everything. Yeah. So.
That's fun. That's fun that you still have this notoriety to where it's like, and how many followers did you have? I didn't even see. It's
50,000.
Yeah. So it's like you could still release something and like, you know, get it out there. Do you make
people would see it? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you make do you make residuals or do you make money off of that original video?
Just streaming revenue through Spotify.
Okay. Yeah.
YouTube.
And did you have to pay?
I don't get a dime from YouTube.
Did you have to pay royalties for using the song or is it because it's parody?
It's a cover. It is definitely in this gray area.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure that there's a royalty split that happens on the back end. So I use TuneCore. It's like a, you know, internet record label.
Uh-huh.
And so you know, whenever you do a cover song like this, you're splitting royalties with the original songwriter.
Interesting.
So like I would have performance credit and arrangement credit for this song because it's an original cover, but, Linda Perry / Four Non Blondes would have songwriting credit, which is the really important one. That's the one that you make the real money from. So, it's like the internet is weird how all of that works out. But, you know, I get people on my channel sometimes, you know, like outraged that like, you know, there's this whole backstory of the original video being reposted by somebody else. And like you cheated this guy out of like millions of internet dollars. Yeah. Like, no, it really doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way.
YouTube makes sure that the people that are supposed to get the money get the money.
Interesting. That's really interesting. And then you got hit up. Like, this is my favorite story because it was probably 6, 7, I don't know, maybe a year ago. Me and the family are sitting down and we're watching the new Ninja Turtles movie, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there watching. Then all of a sudden, like, they're playing that Four Non Blondes song. Not your version, but the original.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it kicks up into your version. And I was just blown away. I was like, that's amazing. So I immediately got on my phone and emailed you. And I was like, I saw the new Ninja Turtles movie.
I
got to see your song. That's so great. And you see your name in the credits of the movie, you know, attributed to the song. How did that come about?
That was very unexpected. And some days I still can't believe it. I had gotten a note from, there's a guy named, a YouTuber named Wavy Websurf, and he made this, this video about like the backstory of the He-Man video.
Oh, interesting.
So one of his friends is also a YouTuber. Paramount had reached out to to this guy who's like, he represents a lot of influencers. And it was just like one of those things, like Wavy knew me because of the video that he did. And it's like, hey, Paramount wants to talk to you. I'm like, what?
You're like, oh no, what
about
did I do?
What? And then, yeah, this was like, I think May before the movie came out. The movie came out later that summer. So this was like an 11th hour, you know, music supervision decision, I think.
Hilarious.
But anyway, so I started working with this guy who represents other influencers. I was like, hey, can we just try this and you can help like broker this deal with Paramount? And it was like, it was not a lot of money. I just want to throw that out there.
Sure.
But it was so cool. And I had no idea how they were going to use the song. You know, they're like, yeah, it's going to be like a, you know, it's going to be used in a chase scene. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. And, I remember, one of my friends, had texted me because I wasn't able to talk about it yet. One of my friends had texted me and said, hey dude, did you give the, your He-Man song to the Turtles movie? I'm like, maybe. And she was like, I just went to this advanced screening of the Turtles movie and it was amazing. I was like, I have no idea. It's like, dude, it's in the middle of the movie, like at a pivotal scene, like during a chase.
Scene.
Like it's featured.
It's the best part. It's so good. Yeah. Like it kicks it up to 11. And with that song, it just makes it that much better.
I was blown away.
Yeah.
I went with my whole family. We were visiting my sister and her family in Wisconsin. And so like a big group of us went and that part came on. I was just like outside of my body.
Yeah.
It was so weird. I was just like, I know intellectually that's my voice, but it's not computing.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
That's so funny. And did you have to give them like any like original files or were they working off the YouTube video or something?
I gave them like original He-Man mix .wave or whatever that was. I mean, that was it.
That's hilarious. That's so funny. That's amazing. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Like just like I love our industry. I really do, because there's so much you can do with it. Like, and there's so many ways to evolve as well, you know?
Yeah. It's so surprising. Like when I've gone to industry events like Dash Bash or Camp MoGraph and all of that, you know, and just like I'll go to other conferences or other like, you know, industry things throughout the year or video game thing or whatever, but industry events like that are just my favorite. Absolutely my favorite, because of the community, and because it's like, you know, you can have a room full of like, you know, MoGraph artists and animators and things like that, but then you start a conversation and like, you know, next thing you know, you're talking about, you know, music composition and you're talking about claymation and, you know, you're talking about like wood sculpting and like whatever. There's just like, there's so many different creative disciplines that sort of have found a home within the industry that we're in. And it's like, I really can't imagine being a part of anything else.
Yeah. I don't want to be an accountant. I'm okay with being a unsuccessful poor MoGrapher.
I don't think I'd be good at it. I really don't think you want me as your accountant.
That's awesome. So what's on the horizon for Secret Powers? By the way, you guys sent me a Secret Powers shirt and I wear it all the time.
I'm very
just
happy
so you know.
To hear that.
Yeah.
I wear my Secret Powers shirt all the time too. It's like half of my wardrobe.
Right. That's funny. Yeah.
It's like a poor man Steve Jobs kind of situation.
Right.
Let's pull out like which gray Secret Powers shirt am I going to pull out today?
Yeah, it's all my entire outfits are Cinema 4D shirts because I have so many of them. Different studios. I've got like 800 ABC shirts already been chewed shirts. So it's like, what am I going to wear today? I'm going to let everyone know I'm a MoGrapher. But yeah, what's on the horizon for Secret Powers?
Yeah, so you know, we were talking a little bit before the break before we started this thing, And after we went to commercial that right. Third time. this year we're kind of getting into the end of trade show season, summer, and all of that. And in, you know, historically, fall and winter going into Christmas is a busy time for us. We're just kind of ramping up and getting into that, that busy season. As a company, we've been really intentional this year about, marketing efforts and, company positioning and just like, the brand that we've set out to build. The road ahead is really about, just continuing to refine that, identify the things that that we're most passionate about, that we're uniquely outfitted to create and keep making those things. I'm happy to say every year there's a greater frequency of projects where we kind of finish it, and think, wow, that was exactly the project that we needed to be working on at that time with exactly the right client at that time. And I just want to do more of that. I want to just continue that trajectory. The thing is as the company grows, I'm more, doing business development and sales and owner stuff. And so, I just literally everything that's happening right now is due to my team and just how amazing they are and the stuff that we're building and the stuff that, that it's like, it just comes to the surface and it's really clear, this is what we're about. This is what we need to be working on. It's because the sensibilities, the creativity, the heart that, that my team has. So, I'm just excited to, keep walking alongside them.
That's exciting. Yeah. And it's interesting. I meant to mention this earlier, but talking about the different, you're talking about building campaigns for companies, not just, we'll do videos and stuff, but let's handle some of this, some of the entire social marketing stuff. So it's not just creating video content and stuff. It's also, we're going to handle some pretty heavy, viral marketing for you.
Yeah. I mean, I think the projects that are our favorites are the ones where we really get to collaborate and co-create with our clients. Every single time the strongest results are when that happens, whether it's the client has a really great idea and isn't sure how to execute it, or just kind of wants to know if it's possible or how it might be executed. I always look at those kind of projects and I'm like, yes, let's figure it out. And then you get into this really fun kind of yes anding sort of creative process with the client that you're partnering with. And that's where the really good stuff is. I think for larger campaigns where, we're doing, some type of asset for, multiple marketing beats. And we just really mind meld with the game and we really understand, what their objectives are and where they're coming from. Inevitably, those are the projects that we end up being the most proud of, because, it's it just feels natural, right? Mm-hmm. The output, it just feels authentic because it's oh yeah, all of us collectively, us and our client, are kind of living this together. Uh-huh. And what you're seeing is the result of that. So yeah.
Absolutely amazing. Jay, thank you so much for being on the show. It's so great to have you here. We need to get together for drinks sometime,
You're just a mere hour away.
Just an hour. We can meet in the middle.
I know.
Meet in the middle.
It's not impossible.
No, it's not. So where can people find you if they want to look you up online, if they want to see, all the amazing work that Secret Powers does?
Yeah. Your first stop would be secretpowers.com. Mm-hmm. And also secretpowers on Instagram. Those two would get you to all of the other associated places. You can find me at Slack Circus, SlackCircus, Slack Circus, on Instagram and on YouTube.
If you want to see all the, you know, unpublished stuff that other people, that clients wouldn't,
it was yeah.
not good enough for the clients, but and, good and enough for the internet.
If you want to subscribe and see like one video every 2 years,
yeah,
I'm the man for that job.
Awesome. All right. Thanks everyone for joining. Make sure to follow us on all the socials, especially YouTube and Twitch. We start our weekly MoGraph, or we've been doing our weekly MoGraph hangouts. I think we're going to do some AI explorations this week. I was talking to a couple of the guys over at ABC, and they were showing me some cool stuff. So I think we're going to play around with that this week. Those are Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. Central Time, and we've got a bunch of great guests lined up. Next week, Dave is coming back to the show. Yeah, he's going to come back and talk about Camp MoGraph and all the stuff he's been working on and stuff. Super excited about that. So make sure to watch that, catch our live stream on Thursday. And also, if you haven't done it already, make sure to sign up for your very own MoGraph.com account. It's a one-stop shop for everything a motion designer needs. You can showcase your demo reel, projects you've worked on, post jobs, apply for jobs, sell your digital goods, find meetup groups, or start one of your own, and so much more is planned. We're almost at the 800 member mark, so sign up. If you've got an OTOY account, you already have a MoGraph account. You just need to go sign up and let us know that you want to be a part of it.
The phone lines are open.
They are open, yes. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Jay, thanks again. Lots of fun. So much fun to catch
up.
Thanks, Matt. Are you going to camp this year? Or are you missing out?
I'm not going this year.
Dang,
I'm not going this year. Hopefully next year.
All right, cool. Well, I'll see you when we meet up for drinks sometime soon. So...
Let's take that to the bank.
We'll take that to the bank. Awesome. All right. Until next week, I'm Matt, and he is Jay, and we're out of here. Bye, everybody.
And we are us. Thank you.